secure and just like heaven. Had a couple of interesting guesses as to what this is. Our gadget today. James says, is it a pair of flip-flops? Juliet thinks it's a horse. It's a horse, Juliet. That's exactly what it is, of course. But Dominic's brought it in. And actually, this is such a complicated device. You actually get some instructions with it as well. Thank you for bringing this in, Dominic.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Okay. How would you describe it? What is it?
Well, I only just saw it in the front office, but I thought it was so fascinating that we need to share this with the whole wide world. And it is something called Eat Me Crunchy, and you can get it at eatmecrunchy.com. And it is a bowl, a cereal bowl for people who don't like soggy cereal. Now, personally, I think the sogginess of the cereal is half the fun of eating cereal, but if you know one of those people, then you get this little shelf. You can get milk and you have a little shelf so that you only put a little bit of cereal in the milk at any one time, so it's always crunchy.
I think we should give it away as a prize.
Well, it's not mine. it's somebody's.
It's
out
probably
in
Terry's.
The office, so I don't think it's Terry's, but I don't want to give away somebody's prize possession. But
it might be Ross's. I don't know. I think we should give it away anyway, because it's just the essential thing that you should have, and some instructions as well of how to use it. Fit in shelf, pour in dry cereal, then pour on milk. The bowl is okay in the dishwasher, but not in the microwave. I wonder what happens in the microwave. Perhaps we could do a test and find out.
Yes, we can bring a microwave into the studio and nuke a bowl.
Do you ever see that show called Brainiac?
No, I'm afraid I haven't. No.
You must see that. It's Sky One, I believe, and it just shows you new events, different advances in the techie world, and they'll have a don't do this at home. They put stuff in the microwave, like soap and wire wool, and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And they blow up caravans every week as well.
Well, I do lots of things at home that I shouldn't do at home, but this isn't one of them.
Okay, but tell me your favourite cereal, and we'll favourite cereal. I'll give you the contact details, and you can tell me your favourite cereal, and we'll send you this bowl.
Contact Future Radio now. Text Future, then your message to 60066. Call us on Norwich 455250 or email studio@futureradio.co.uk.
And if nobody texts or emails or phones in, we'll just assume that nobody wants this wonderful Eat Me Crunchy bowl, and we'll hand it back to somebody in the studio. Now, Dominic, back to school quite soon. Not you personally.
Yes, lots of people.
Did you enjoy going back to school?
I can remember. I've repressed that memory.
Oh, I think that's a no then. Because I never did.
Well, I'm still at school, so I guess in a way I must have done.
You are at the UEA, yes. Yeah, education goes on a long time. If you like going back to school, send me a message, the word future, then your message. You like it or you don't like it, why you like it, why you don't like it, to 60066, or you can send me an email, studio@futureradio.co.uk, or an instant message via the futureradio.co.uk website. Now, when I was a kid going back to school, all those years back, in a really dodgy 70s comprehensive, 150 miles from here, I should add, we had, I think, a protractor, one of those things, I can't even think what they called it, like a square thing with sharp points. Not compass, but the plastic version of it. Some pens, maybe a pencil case, and that was it. But now, I see the advert for Staples, and they're saying, kids back to school, and it's a laptop for $399.99. And you think, well, what do the kids, are kids going to take laptops to school with them? So what kind of techie things do the kids take with them these days to school?
Well, I don't know what they do, I know what they take with them. It's mobile phones, and then they do everything with them. They text each other and do all these things. But I was actually thinking about what is the back to school gadget, and depends on the kind of school. Of course, laptop, or if you're sort of upper secondary or university, you cannot do without it. But, you know, that's kind of an expensive thing, you know, to buy a bunch of pencils and a laptop. So. But the one thing I think, if you're sort of thinking about educational uses of things, buy an MP3 player, go online and find all these lectures that are on there on topics from evolutionary biology, history, sociology, or just technology. And so and go find them, subscribe to them, and then, you know, if you're a student, listen to them on your way to school. And it's a great way to sort of continue your education in a way that nobody's, you know, screaming at you for fidgeting and talking to your neighbors.
I guess one of the things that most children need these days is probably a flash drive. and a,
yes, to that's computer. A good point. That's a good point. And you can get one for 10 quid now. Mm. It's, you know, more than plenty for any, you know, for any school assignments or anything you might need. So yeah, so that's definitely a good thing to have. And but you know, you should always back up. You know, so keep a copy of your homework on your flash drive and on your computer if you can.
So 1 gig would be enough, you think?
Oh, plenty, yeah.
Yeah, because I know they can write that down in price.
Yes. You can get a 4 gig one for 40 quid. Well, 30 quid or so.
Yeah, I think I've got one even cheaper than that, because I know Ross, who's on between 1 and 4, he had a flash drive, a 2 gig flash drive that he bought for I think about £12, and my 4 gig was £15, and he was not pleased. Yeah. But the bigger the better, isn't it?
I mean, basically, I mean, there's no harm in having a bigger flash drive.
Tell me what you need for school. What do you need for school? What do you take to school? Send me a message, the word future, then your message to 666, or send me an instant message via the futureradio.co.uk website, and we'll talk to Dominic a little bit more after the Beach Boys. Beach Boys, Don't Worry Baby. Yeah, summer's almost over, isn't it? Into autumn now, because the kids going back to school. Dominic Lukacs is with me, our techie expert, and our internet expert as well. And here's one thing about the internet, Dom, where you can download a weather forecast. Again, it says, most places will remain, this is for this area, NR5, most places will remain dry with sunny spells, but a few showers are likely later in the day. Well, that's wrong, because we've had the showers already, and so it's not dry. We both got rained on as we walked in here today. Top temperature of 15 degrees, but it's already at least 19, isn't it? So, internet weather forecast. So we need to just go outside and perhaps have somebody phoning in live from the Moton Road, possibly. Maybe a bit more accurate. But always interesting to get the weather forecast. Juliet, she likes Cocoa Pops. So, Juliet, you're in the pole position at the moment to win this superb technological bowl for eating your cereal out of. Now, we were talking about earlier about the stuff we take to school, or the gadgets, bits and pieces, flash drives, floppy disks, maybe even a laptop or a mobile phone. But now the kids, with the homework, they can research it all on the internet,
yes,
can't they?
Yes, I mean, and I was just saying, it's that, you know, instead of the gadgets, one of the things that you need for school is knowledge. And and internet actually happens to be a pretty good place to find knowledge. And I happened to be at a conference on cognitive linguistics of all things, but there was a lecture. Somebody was giving a talk about a new language that is the buzzword in Silicon Valley in the U.S. right now, and it is called Keywordese.
Right.
And Keywordese is the language that we're all becoming very fluent in. It's the language of searching on Google or any search engines. And so I thought it might be a good time to mention some useful tricks on how to make the most of your Google searches.
Superb.
So, here are a few tricks.
Okay. Can I just ask, before you go into this, well, I think of it, because I've got a memory like a goldfish. If I don't ask you now, I'll forget. Why Google? Because it used to be Yahoo and Alta Vista and Ask Jeeves? That was extraordinary, wasn't it?
Ask Jeeves still exists. It's ask.com right now.
But there's other ones. Was it Dogpile or something strange as well?
There's so many of them. There was Excite, used to be InfoSeek and all these things. It's down to Microsoft, Yahoo, and Google.
But why did Google steal the march? Why do people then say, I'm going to search this on the net? They say, I'm going to Google it. So what did they do different to the others to be so good and the first thing you go to?
Well, there's a lot of theories out there about that. I mean, one of the reasons they're so popular is because they're simply the best in the search results they deliver. I mean, I often try different search engines, and so far Google seems to be the best way of getting the most relevant results. They are a company that seem to be committed to the idea of extracting knowledge, and they have in the campus in California, they are reputed to have the highest number of PhDs working for any single company.
Wow.
So yes, I mean, it's Google really just focused on search, and you know, lots of these other services, so far they are delivering the best results. That may not be always the case, but at the moment they are the one place to go.
Okay, let me get back to your tips. Tip one.
All right, well, tip one. First, change your preferences. Google will remember preferences that you can set on it. And click on preferences right next to the search window, and change the number of results displayed at any one time to 50 or 100. I have it up to 50, because it's never just the first 10. So that's a good way of saving yourself a bit of time. Every time you make a search, you can just scroll down, and there's a good chance you'll have a result in the first 50. So that, I recommend that very highly. Second is use quotation marks for long phrases. And lots of people, well, many people probably do know that, but lots of people don't know that if you want to find the exact phrase, not just a combination of the two words, put question marks, quotation marks around it.
Right.
So, for instance, if you search for Tim McWilliam, you'll find you lots of Tims and lots of McWilliams.
Well, do that now. I've got Google in front of me, so I'll do that now. I'll put the speech mark, that's the two little bits together.
Yeah.
I'm just explaining that for people that don't know what speech mark is.
Quotation mark was
Okay, and I've put in a... Okay, so put Tim McWilliam. Okay, this is called ego surfing, isn't it?
It's vanity searching.
Okay, so it's come up. Oh, Future Radio. Profile Tim McWilliam, Future Radio. Now, he's an imposter from America. Who's who the hell is he?
Another Tim McWilliam.
I tell you what, it even comes out. This is how good Dominic is. It comes out with Tim McWilliam's dog Pebbles. So how about that?
There you go. It knows everything about you, which is a little worrying.
It is, yes.
Now, here's some other things that you can do to refine your search. Lots of people don't know. Google will simply ignore, and it tells you it ignores some words like the, on, in, and words like that. They're called stop words.
Okay.
But for some reason, sometimes when you're searching for a song title or something, you may want Google to include them.
Right.
And so what you do is you put the plus sign right before the word that normally would not be included. So that's the best way to get it in. So for instance, if you're searching for, the life will go on as a phrase, then you just put a plus sign before the,
right.
And the will be included. Otherwise, it will just search for life will go on, whether it has the or not.
Because there's a couple of things on this Google as well. One is, it asked me if I want to search the whole web or pages from the UK. So would there be a lot of different results?
Yes, there would be lots of different results depending on how generic the term you're searching for is. So if you're searching for Norwich, there's lots of Norwiches in the U.S. Probably pronounced Norwich, and so if you go onto Google UK Google, then it will just find you results that have something to do with the Norwich in the UK.
Because there is a feature on this website as well that says, "Do you feel lucky?"
Yes.
The reason why I just shook my head then, because it had Tim McWilliam in it still, and I just pressed "Do I feel lucky?" and it's come up with a really awful picture of me. So I
there you go. So, but you were lucky in your search, but unfortunately unlucky in the photographer.
That's right. but also with Google, there are safety features as well. Does it worry you? Is there too much like spyware involved in some of these pages?
No. Nothing that comes up on Google. Well, if you click on a page, then you're taking your life in your hands, really. But on the Google page, you will not get spyware. So in the results list, you're safe. It's just, when you go to a site, then that's not Google's responsibility anymore. They don't filter it out, even though they do offer some sort of filtering of known sites with spyware. So they might remind you that the site you're going to has spyware. But it's I haven't actually seen, that hasn't happened to me, so I haven't seen that.
Because Yahoo, obviously, a good search engine out of East, Ask is still going, and it's up the whole load of them. But Microsoft as well.
Microsoft actually is coming up pretty good. They have the new Live.com services, and they have, for instance, the Microsoft Live Maps are in some ways better than Google's Maps. So that's there's certainly some good competition coming up. But for pure search results of content that is relevant, Google still is the best. At least I occasionally try other ones, and I find Google giving you the most relevant results. And also, there are some things that people have no idea that Google can do for you. I haven't used a calculator in a year.
Right.
I use Google. Do you know how to use Google as a calculator?
Go on, let's do this.
Okay, so...
Okay, speeds up.
What's 45 times 76?
Pass.
Just type in Google 45 star for times 76 and thus press enter.
This is amazing, is it? Right, so 45 star. Is that the asterisk?
Yeah.
Okay, 76. Okay. It's 3,420. How brilliant. We'll have some more techie tips after some music, but I've already learned things I didn't know were on the web. Hope you have too. Future Radio 96.9, 8 minutes to 11 on a Monday morning. It's Tim McWilliam with Dominic Lukesh, talking all things technological and the internet, particularly Google today. And Dom, you just threatened to blow my mind just
now.
Yes,
and I'm about to do it right now. Well, tell me, Tim, how many centimeters are 5 inches exactly?
Oh, goodness me. I'll say centimeters, 5 inches, 50.
Well, look, let's try it out. Okay. Go to Google and type in 5, the digit.
You're enjoying it at home, everyone.
Okay, five inches.
Okay, 5. Do I write in? Write
inches, just inches, or I-N.
I got I-N, okay.
And type the word in.
Okay, I've done 5 I-N, okay.
I-N, in, I-N again, as I-N, in, okay. Inches in, cm, for right. Centimeters.
Ah, well, I'm afraid it didn't work. I'll do that again. So the number 5, I-N, C, oh, no, these are inches, perhaps.
Maybe you have to write inches so it doesn't confuse it with in and in.
Okay, in, then centimeters. I don't know. Well, I'll have to do this more at home, I think, more carefully. I'll do that in just a second. We'll do that perhaps with the track up to the news, because I don't think that's going to quite work.
How come that didn't work for you?
I have no idea.
I'm not looking over your shoulder, so I assume you did something wrong. No. But if you want to say, well, let's say you want to find 5 GBP in CZK, how many Czech crowns is 5 pounds, and if you type that in, that will give you the right result.
Okay.
So basically, the trick here is that Google can do conversions of currencies, metric things.
I know, I didn't work now.
And measures quantities of all sorts. And the best way to find out how to do that is to go to the advanced settings on Google. Again, it's right next to the search box on Google. Go to the advanced and click on help, and then that will explain to you how to do all these fancy things. So it's really worth spending some time on researching Google and how to best use it, and then you will get the most out of it.
So I'm typing in here 5 inches in cm.
Uh-huh. And you're not getting a result.
Oh, yes, I am. I keep on thinking it's come up as... I keep on thinking it's come up with a false message, but it hasn't. It's come up with 12.7 centimeters.
There you go. So it works.
I never knew this. I'm learning today.
And it's incredible time saver, because you have all these applications that you can buy or get for free on the internet that will do these conversions for you. But you have Google right there, so you don't have to even think about which is the application. Just go to Google, type in your query, and get it. So the same thing, and there's lots of these things. One of my favorites is define. If you type in define colon and a word after, like define colon radio, mm-hmm. it will come up with a definition of the word radio. If it finds it anywhere on the internet, usually it finds a bunch of them. So it's a very useful feature. Again, I go to the advanced page on Google and then click on help, and it will explain all of it.
Because it seems to me that everything on the net should be free, unless you're buying obviously off Woolworths or Argos or whoever on the net, or Amazon, whatever. But if you want to find that information, such as a search engine, or you want to get information about travel, you don't want to be paying for it.
But yes, information wants to be free. That's the mantra of the internet, and it is true to most of the extent. Of course, for instance, a book, a novel, is information as well. Okay. But you're not expecting a novel to be free on the internet, even though there are lots of them that are. So it's by and large the general information about the world should be free, and by and large it is free. But some of the information takes a lot of time to compile and fact check and all these things. So that typically isn't free. But most of the stuff that we used to go into the encyclopedia for, or phoning up some research company, we can probably find that on the internet for free. And Google is a great way to go about it, particularly if you learn how to search. Learn the language keywordies of Google to search the most effectively.
So how does Google make their money?
I'm sorry?
How does Google make any money?
Google is the richest, one of the most cash-rich companies on the internet.
But it's all free.
And how do they make their money? If you search for anything, you will find that there's on the side, on the right-hand side, and sometimes on top, there are some advertising searches that somebody has paid for. So basically what you can do on Google, it's called AdWords. You can bid for words. So if somebody searches for radio, if Future Radio wanted to be the first result that is actually marked as an advertisement, but it's on top, then you would have to bid for that word.
Right.
And it would be quite expensive because everybody's bidding for the word radio. But for some words that are, or combinations of words that are not as common, then those may cost as little as, I don't know, 10 pence per hit. So if somebody searches, sees that word, and clicks on it, you pay Google 10 pence.
All right.
And since millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people are doing it, Google has about $5 billion in the bank, or if not, and I'm being conservative here maybe, but it's an incredibly profitable business.
Do you know what they say in Scotland about that?
About Google.
No, about Google, about lots of 10 pences making a lot of money. They say, many a mickle makes a muckle.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And then Google makes a muckle of muckles.
Absolutely, yes. They're one of the richest people on the planet. Because one of the big mistakes that I heard, or one of those programs they have on Channel 4, Channel 5, they have, you know, the 100 worst mistakes or worst decisions of all time. They have, like, Graham Poll giving his three cards. And they might have, they had Yahoo not buying Google when they had the chance.
I don't even remember that Yahoo was trying to buy Google. But no, but Google certainly is one of the best companies, and it's not for sale. Actually, it is buying up other companies left and right, just like Yahoo are doing. And it will be interesting to see which one of them, you know, buys each other eventually in the future. There are some rumors, but I doubt it will happen in the next 5 years.
Have you got one final quick tip to give us before the news? You got a minute to do it.
All right. Well, one of the things that people don't realize is the more words you put in your search, the more likely you're going to get a relevant result. And if sometimes you get an ambiguous result, so if you put a minus in front of the word that you don't want to appear in your search, then you can exclude that from your search. So it's a very useful way of limiting words that you, results that are from a different field, like bank. You don't want to get results about rivers, so
right.
Just say bank minus river, you know, as an example of getting a good result. And if you include more other words that limit your search, then you're more likely to get your result.
I do worry a little bit that because Google does so much now, it kind of impinges on other groups. And the same way as big supermarkets become supermarket towns, like Inverness, I was in last week, is a supermarket town. And it, of course, the small businesses close down. So in the end, we'll end up with big supermarkets and the net. That'll be
Google on Google for Google Watch, and you will find plenty of references to people watching Google and trying to keep them honest. But remember, Google's motto is don't be evil.
Brilliant. Thank you, Dominic. Fascinating as ever. We'll see you next week.